And we're greatly blessed to have the Lord here today in our midst, because the promise says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So the topic assignment that I have for this morning is on the effect of the finished work of Christ. And we will be dwelling on the second, in the, our key scripture would be 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, and behold, the new has come. Amen? So it's very interesting. We have launched into a sermon series, and I would like to kind of have a little rewind here of what's happening in our journey here in the series in celebrating Christ, and that's the thrust of the elders of our church, is that we would have a firm grasp of why do I celebrate Christ in my life. And so our first topic was on number one. There is why glorify the name of Jesus. Of course, we have learned that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And we have also the second one, prophecies, credentials of Christ. And why do we believe what we believe? In other words, am I believing something that has just been shoved down my throat by my parents or friends or a husband or wife, dad or mom? So we need to qualify why we believe what we believe. Then we have the journey of Christ for his love for us. And Elder Lester talked about the journey of Christ, the Christophanies, an Old Testament depiction of Christ, and going on. And then towards heaven. Now he's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And then we have number four there, the finished work of Christ, where we hear this term, tetelestai. It is paid in full. And so, and because it's a full payment, that really relieves us from the pressure of, am I going to make it to heaven or not? Once you have made Christ your Lord and your Savior. And so, because of Christ, we are complete. So actually, I try to use the term. I usually text my wife, in the middle of the day, and I'd be saying, love you today, or love you always. But I thought of using that term, you make me complete. Anybody here has been here last Sunday? So I tried that. And I was waiting for the response coming from her saying, you make me complete too. But the whole day I've been waiting. There was no response. So I guess the message is clear. It is God who makes us complete. Amen? So the fifth topic then would be the effect of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to ask a favor from us all. Could you turn to your neighbor? Because there's this powerful scripture in 1 John 4:4. And in 1 John 4:4 it says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Could you turn to your to the person next to you and say, hey, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And mean it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the world is yet to see what God could accomplish through you. The world is yet to see what God could accomplish through you. We have a testimonial video over here that I would like to share to you all, the power of the meek through the gospel of Asia. And this testimonial really has blessed my heart. And so as we dim the light, We will watch this thing for 5 minutes.
The diagnosis was terminal. A CT scan revealed a brain tumor. After 3 years of pain, it was finally certain. Santin was going to die.
The living conditions of this area is very poor. Some places there is no electricity, and most of the people in this area live by doing daily labor.
What hope does a dying boy have in this kind of village? Even though Santinu's parents managed to get him diagnosed, they could do no more. All hope was gone. But an unexpected hope began to stir the next village over. A prayer team is gathering regularly, going to homes and praying for the sick and afflicted. Stories of healings began to spread through the village. But this was an unusual prayer team. It consisted of children, motivated by nothing but the love of Jesus. This sort of thing was unheard of before. How then did these children discover such effective prayer? Well, for the first time in their lives, these children had a school in their own village, provided by people who loved them.
Once the staff is appointed, we give them proper training how to teach these children, and we always tell that you are the model. Now the students are going to look up to you.
Saigon saw the power of prayer demonstrated through the example of the staff. He saw that they prayed for everything. So he and the children started doing the same thing on their own.
My friends and I started praying together because I believe in Jesus and I believe he can heal. Santanu is one of our friends. He is not from the Project Center, but he had a brain tumor. When we heard this, we went to his home and prayed.
Most people would feel they'd done their duty praying once and leaving. But this group returned daily to persevere in prayer. On the fifth day, God answered.
Gosh, Arthur. The prayer group used to come and pray for me. And after that, there was no more pain.
Dr. Sugoi, what that CT scan?
When we went to the hospital, the doctors did a new CT scan and told us there's no longer a problem.
After that miracle, many other people asked us to pray for the sick, and they are also getting healed.
News of this God who heals through children spread as a wave of hope across that area. Adults began to join the children, seeking healing from afflictions and deliverance from distress. What they found was love and power from a God they had never known before.
It's incredible how this thing has spread. Children come to the center from several other villages. And now, in all of those areas, children have followed Sagan's example and started prayer teams that are just as powerful. How frequently? They all gather every day, reading the scriptures and praying.
These are supported children who receive the usual education, clothes, meals, medical attention, and the love of Jesus. But who would have imagined they would become a true bridge of hope to their village and surrounding area? Go to Jesus.
Amen? I guess God deserves a clap, right? It's the same God that dwells inside of us, no different. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the world is yet to see what God could do through us. There are facts over here, effect facts over here that I would like to focus on. Fact number one, the effect of the finished work of Christ are too numerous to count. Too numerous. He is so wealthy. The Lord is so wealthy in endowing each and every one of us of himself. Example, a sample over here, I just could squeeze in like 11 of them, of the effects. Number one, we are saved by grace. And it's not from us anymore. Ephesians 2:8-9. We became children of God. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. In verse number 17, number 3. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That's powerful. Just to think about that. I mean, you say, if you in a dark night, and you could see a single star, and that star belongs to Jesus, and you are a co-heir to that star. Not even to mention galaxies. We became, number four, we became partakers of his divine nature. And that's so awesome. Number five, we are delivered from the powers of darkness, and we have been brought into his kingdom. Our kingdom now is not the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light. Number six, we are never alone. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And actually, there's so much there too. That word never is ume in Greek. And ume is a double negative. So if you translate that in the English, it would be, I would never, never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. We are very secure in him. Number seven, we are getting all our needs met. Philippians 4:19. And God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and his glory. And when we heard that Caleb wants to be a doctor, I said, hey, God shall supply all my needs. And then doubled by Bethany. Bethany, what do you want to be? I want to be a neonatologist. And being a doctor. And I said, God shall supply all my needs. So we're not being intimidated by things over here. Number eight, we are more than conquerors through him. So whatever you are facing, you are more than a conqueror for whatever that is. And number nine, we are not condemned. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Number 10, we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 11, we are the righteousness of God, and God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. So we are the righteousness of God. So there are many effects. If we just open our eyes and put that in context of whatever we are facing, everything has been taken care of by Christ. Fact number two, the effect of the finished work of Christ is the greatest and the highest expression of God's love to a hopeless, lost world. The effect of the finished work of Christ is the greatest and the highest expression of God's love. So how could we doubt the love of God? How could we doubt it? There is no room to doubt when we see Christ in the expression of God on that cross as the full and greatest expression of his love for us. Fact three, the effect of the finished work of Christ has been the central and primal agenda of Satan's misinformation campaign. Our enemy, Satan, is shooting misinformation in our daily lives, even in our daily lives. Instead of going to the spirit, we go to the flesh or the soul, and we harbor into these lies that Satan is giving in our lives. So, and there are a lot of Christians, even in the psych unit, that could quote verses, but they're depressed because of this misinformation campaign caused by Satan. Fact four, the effect of the finished work of Christ has met all your needs in all life here and throughout eternity. Meaning to say, it's not just here, but it also penetrates eternity. That's why we have a status change. We are not the same anymore when we encountered Christ. Fact five, the effect of the finished work of Christ is the true life of all those who have been born again in the Spirit. Okay, this true life is found in Christ alone. Now, let's go to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 7, it says there, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breathed the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, this is a very intimate picture of how God really loves us. The moment that Adam opened his eyes, he saw the eyes of Adam. We're in the next slide. Genesis 2. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So the dust or the ground is where you plant things. The ground is where you plant things. And God, in his design, planted himself in us. But the enemy saw this and planted himself as well in the lives of many people. Remember what the Lord said? By their fruits, you would know who they are. So we know which one are those from the enemy, and we know those one that are from the Lord. So there is a spirit crisis. In Ezekiel 11:19, it says there, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. See the planting there? I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And this actually is the born-again experience. Ezekiel 11:19 in the Old Testament already has been communicating to us that a born-again experience is about to happen. Titus 3:5-6, it says here, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Again, you could see they're planting, right? He planted himself in us through the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the word there, rebirth, peligenesia, actually means, again, genesia is Genesis or beginning, so begin again. It is only through the Spirit of God that one soul could experience peligenesia or being born again. This could not be produced by following the law or ordained pillars of theology or doctrine, but this is accomplished through the Spirit of God that has been planted in each and every one of us. I have a disclaimer. While many would argue and have an opinion, which is the greatest effect of the finished work of Christ, I believe it is the new creation, the born-again experience of a saved soul. Okay, that is the greatest effect of the finished work of Christ. That brings us to our key verse this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's why in verse 17, it starts there with that word, therefore. Because it is a fact. It is an accomplishment. It is an experience of a true believer of Christ to have a new creation. And the old things has passed away. The new things have come. So, The Spirit makes us or made us new creatures. And the new creatures there in Greek, which is a very important word for us, kainos anthropos, to grasp. A lot of people, though, that believes in the Lord, don't see, why am I truly a new believer or a new creation, or am I not? They're at lost of wallowing in sin and yet proclaiming through their lips that they are believers in the Lord. It's a crisis in the body of Christ. It's a crisis that even humiliates Christianity. And we have this thing in the Philippines, this word in the Philippines, ganyan ba ang Kristiyano? In other words, is that really a Christian living? So the name and the testimony of Christ has been marred because of this confusion. Am I truly a new creation in Christ, or is this just a confession of my lips? Remember what it says: the old things pass away. All things have passed away. Then why is it that in Christendom it seems like this fact is not being appreciated? The strength of the new creation life is when we realize who is in us. When we realize who is in us. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh, or the old things, profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. What Christ is saying here in John 6 is that, where is your investment? Are you investing in the spirit, or are you investing in the flesh or the old things, the old life? And so we need to be watchful where what stuff are being planted in us, particularly by the world. Watch what you watch, watch what you hear, watch what you value. 2 Corinthians 2:10, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That's powerful, isn't it? The deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That's what we chased. The thoughts of God. Verse number 12, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So it's possible to understand the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the values of God, what honors God. It is possible. It's not an impossibility. Amen? Ephesians 2, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is powerful. He made us alive together with Christ. Amen? And that word, together, sutsupueo, is to make one alive together with, is a very rare Greek word. It's only found twice in the New Testament. Ephesians one time and Colossians one time. So, you are not and I am not alone. Sutsupueo, I am one with the Creator of the entire universe. He dwells inside of me. And we could have a snapshot picture of this even in the video that we have watched. They are kids, and yet the Spirit of the living God is one with them. And thus there is this manifestation of glory coming out in their lives. And the testimony of Christ is being reinstated in that place. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I would like to say Christ's works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We could walk in Christ's works. Amen? And we could celebrate the beauty of this divine being, excuse me, living inside of us. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given the fullness in Christ, who is head of every power and authority. The fullness of Christ, it has been given to us by this generous, loving God, our Abba, our Father. So the saying in Texas is true. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come for those who trust the good Lord and what He wants us to accomplish for Him in this life for His glory and for His honor. Galatians 2:20, and this has been echoed by a lot of believers as their favorite verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? The life I now live. The crisis of doing old things, the old things, has passed away. If only we would just recognize who he is inside of us. Could you imagine the beauty of who he is, even in his thoughts? Philippians, it says there, 6. It says there, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think about such things. That's the mind of God right there. And that mind is inside of us. That's why we draw from that reality, and that's how we think when we're mad. Or that's what we think when we are tempted. That's what we think with whatever come opposed to the being of Christ that we know of. Amen? I have a quote here from Watchman Nee. And he says here, brothers and sisters, God will take away many things from you, from us. He will only give you one. He will only give you a person. This one will be your humility, your endurance, your meekness, your righteousness, and your love. He is the one who is. When you have him, you can truly say, God, you are the I am. This is Christianity. God is continually tearing down and building up. He will continue this work until one day we can say that Christ is everything. One day the universe will confess that Christ is everything. But first, God wants us to confess within ourselves that Christ is everything. Amen? Christ within me is everything. What I am doesn't count. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. That is so strong, brothers. And it talks, it's the journey, it's the true path of Christianity. Living and breathing Christ. Making him everything. Another quote from Watchman Nee. You could tell he's my favorite. If we do not realize our union with Christ Jesus in his death, our self will never die, and the world cannot see him. Let's read that again. If we do not realize our union with Christ Jesus in his death, our self will never die, and the world cannot see him. Amen. Sud suupuel, to make one alive together with Christ. Is that your desire? Is that your desire? That's my desire. To be one with him. To think the way he thinks. To value things the way he values things. To love the way he loves. Everything needs to be saturated. You know, myself needs to die and disappear. And you know what? What life comes out of us is so powerful. I have been given the privilege by the Lord last Thursday to meet a young man. He was just 21 years old. And this young man's name is Terry. And Terry has been abandoned by her parents and ended up in the arms of his grandma. And the grandma labored to bring him up with love and care. Now that he's 21, grandma is feeling so tired and sick in the hospital. And Terry was so mad. Why would God remove the only person in my life that has shown me love and care? How could God do this to me? And there was, when I was talking to him, there was this anger within him. Restlessness for the future. Restlessness also for eternity, actually. He had an issue with God. And when he was sharing these things, I remembered, Holy Spirit, you're inside of me. Give me your word. Give me your word for this young man. And the Lord carried me in the conversation, brothers and sisters. I tell you, it was not me. It was him speaking to this young man. Up to the point that all the anger was dismantled. And an opening for the Lord, for his grace, and the acceptance for eternity through Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said, Chaplain, I am glad you talked with me. I feel so different. Well, the Holy Spirit entered him as well as he has received him, as he received Christ as his Lord and Savior. He has said even, like a weight has been removed from me, and the peace of God has come. It's the same power that is given to each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. He dwells inside of you. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. The effect of the finished work of Christ is the true life of all those who have been born again in the Spirit. Next slide. The effect of the finished work of Christ is the true life of all those who have been born again in the Spirit. And that is who we are in Christ Jesus. That's how he looks at us. You are new. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. And that's the way we need to look at one another. There is no room for judgment when we look at one another the way the Lord looks at each and every one of us. Amen. While the choir would be coming up over here to play our music, you know, I would like to close in prayer. And as we bow our heads, I would like to let each and every one of us affirm that he is inside of us. Affirm that he is Lord. Affirm that he will never, never leave us. He will never, never forsake us.